Chapter 9, Section 2, Climatic Pattern, Coevolution. In 2016, the rage is all about serverless computing. I'm going to exploit this fortuitous circumstance to explain the concept of coevolution, but to begin with we need to take a hike back through time to the 80s/90s. Back in those days, computers were very much a product and the applications we built used architectural practices that were based upon the characteristics of a product, in particular mean time to recovery, MTTR. When a computer failed, we had to replace or fix it and this would take time. The MTTR was high and architectural practices had emerged to cope with this. We built machines using N+1, i.e. redundant components such as multiple power supplies. We ran disaster recovery tests to try and ensure our resilience worked. We cared a lot about capacity planning and scaling of single machines, scale up. We cared an awful lot about things that could introduce errors and we had change control procedures designed to prevent this. We usually built test environments to try things out before we were tempted to alter the all-important production environment. But these practices didn't just magically appear overnight, they evolved through trial and error. They started as novel practices, then more dominant but divergent forms emerged until we finally started to get some form of consensus. The techniques converged and good practice was born. The same has happened with accounting, with manufacturing, with HR and every other practice of business that you can think of. Ultimately, these architectural practices were refined and best architectural practice developed. In such confident days, you'd be mocked for not having done proper capacity planning as this was an expected norm. Our applications needed architectural practices that were based upon, needed, compute which was provided as a product. The architectural norms that became best practice were N+1, scale up, disaster recovery, change control and testing environments, and these were ultimately derived from the high MTTR of a product. I've shown this evolution of practice in the map below. See Figure 97, Evolution of Architectural Practice. For more details. Normally with maps I just use the description of evolution for activities. This evolution is exactly the same with practice but with slightly different terms, for example novel, emerging, good and best rather than genesis, custom, product and commodity. For background on this, see 128 Figure 10, 129 Chapter 2. The thing is, compute evolved. As an activity then compute had started back in the 1940s in that uncharted space, the genesis of the act, where everything is uncertain. We then had custom-built examples, divergent forms, and then products, convergence around certain characteristics with some differentiation between them. However, compute by the early 2000s had started to transform and become more commodity-like, with differentiation becoming far more constrained, the activity itself becoming far more defined. In this world, a server was really about processor speed, memory, hard disk size, power consumption and how many you could cram in a rack. In this world we built banks of compute and created virtual machines as we needed them. Then we got public utility forms with the arrival of AWS EC2 in 2006. The more industrialized forms of any activity have different characteristics to early evolving versions. With computing infrastructure then utility forms had similar processing, memory and storage capabilities but they had very low MTTR. When a virtual server went bang, we didn't bother to try and fix it, we didn't order another, we just called an API and within minutes or seconds we had a new one. Long gone were the days that we lovingly named our servers, these were cattle not pets. This change of characteristics enabled the emergence of a new set of architectural principles based upon a low MTTR. We no longer cared about N+1 and resilience of single machines, as we could recreate them quickly if failure was discovered. We instead designed for failure. We solved scaling by distributing the workload, calling up more machines as we needed them. We had moved from scale up to scale out. We even reserved that knowing chortle for those who did capacity planning in this world of abundance. See Figure 98, Emergence of a New Practice. For more details. We started testing failure by the constant introduction of error. We created various forms of chaos monkeys or masters of disasters that introduced random failure into our environments. One-off disaster recovery tests were for the weak. We constantly adapted to failure. With a much more flexible environment, we learned to roll back changes more quickly. We became more confident in our approaches and started to use continuous deployment. We frowned at those that held on to the sacred production and less hallowed testing environments. We started to mock them. These novel practices scale out, design for failure, chaos engines and continuous deployment amongst others were derived from an increasingly low MTTR environment and such practices were simply accelerated by utility compute environments. Our applications were built with this in mind. The novel practices spread becoming emergent, different forms of the same principles, and have slowly started to converge with a consensus around good practice. We even gave it a name, DevOps. It is still evolving and it will in turn become best architectural practice. What happened is known as co-evolution, i.e. a practice co-evolves with the activity itself. This is perfectly normal and happens throughout history. Though steel making itself industrialized, we can still produce swords, if we wish, but we have lost the early practice of forging swords. One set of practices has been replaced with another. I've shown the current state of co-evolution in compute in the map below. The former best architectural practice we now call legacy, whilst the good, and still evolving, architectural practice is called DevOps. See Figure 99, Co-evolution of DevOps. For more details. This transformation of practice is also associated with inertia, i.e. we become used to the old and trusted best practice, which is based upon one set of characteristics, and the new practice, based upon the more evolved underlying activity, is less certain, requires learning and investment. Hence we often have inertia to the underlying change due to governance. This was one of the principal causes of inertia to cloud computing. Furthermore, any application we had which were based upon the old best practice lacks the benefits of this new, more evolved world. These benefits of industrialization always include efficiency, speed of agility and speed of development in building new things. Our existing applications became our legacy to our past way of doing things, part of the corporate corpus. They needed re-architecting, but that involves cost, and so, we try to magic up ways of having the new world but just like the past. We want all the benefits of volume operations and commodity components but using customized hardware designed just for us. It doesn't work. The Red Queen eventually forces us to adapt. We often fight it for too long though. This sort of co-evolution and the inevitable dominance of a more evolved practice is highly predictable. We can use it to anticipate new forms of organizations that emerge as well as anticipate the changes in practice before they hit us. It's how in Canonical in 2008, we knew we had to focus on the emerging DevOps world and to make sure everyone, or as many as possible, that were building in that space were working on Ubuntu, but that's a later chapter. It's enough to know that we exploited this change for our own benefits. As one CIO recently told me, one day everyone was talking about Red Hat and the next it was all cloud plus Ubuntu. That didn't happen by accident.